In this unforgettable session, Tony will introduce you to a magical strategy he calls incantations. You'll discover how this powerful form of self-talk is even more effective than changing your belief systems, since they require an active use of neurology and physiology. As we open the session, Tony invites a member of the audience to share her own personal breakthrough with the use of incantations.
It's Angela, for God's sakes! Let's hear it from you!
You were talking about freeing yourself, and we did our incantations and all that stuff, but at some point you were talking about freeing yourself, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking forgiveness, and then I started thinking about my father. I was thinking, how could I possibly, all my life I've been thinking, how could I possibly forgive this man, possibly? And I said, I can't. I could never forgive this man, never. And then yesterday, I was just sitting there, and after the incantations, and I was like, you know, I want to be free. And I was sitting there, and I was like, I forgive him. And then I was puzzled. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there like, I forgive him, but I can't believe it. But I forgive him, but I can't believe it. So then, after the incantations, which was powerful, we were going on our break, and I was like, you know, I'm going to call him. And I hadn't spoken to him in years and years and years. And there was one point where I was in downtown Brooklyn, where I work, and I saw him on the street, and he walked past me, and I walked past him, and then we saw each other, and he reached out, and he said, hey, Angie, and I just looked at him, and I just turned around and walked away. And part of me, and I couldn't handle that because I hadn't seen him, and I made sure I didn't see him and didn't think about him, but when I saw him, he looked so old and fragile, and it just was so hard. You know, this man hurt me. How could I care how he looks? Why is it hurting so much that I turned around and walked away? So the break came. I was like, I am not calling him. I was like, I am calling him. I'm going to call him. And so I went back to my room, and I had my lunch, and I was talking to my roommate. Then I told her I was going to call him, and she said, okay, you know, she was on her way out anyway, but she said, I'll leave earlier. And then, I finished lunch, I was putting stuff away and filling my water bottle, sorry, and doing this and doing that, and I looked at the phone, and and then I said, okay, it's time to go, because it was like 6 o'clock and we had to be back here, I thought at 6:15. And I looked at the phone, I said, okay, I'm gonna call him. So I walked toward the phone, and as I was walking toward the phone, my stomach started churning in knots, and I was shaking, and I couldn't do it. So I turned around, and I said, okay. And I did my incantations, and I did courage, and I was breathing deeply, and I squared my shoulders, and I asked myself new questions. I said, what is the worst thing that could happen if I called him? I said, well, he could pick up the phone. And then I said, no, that's not the worst thing. And eventually it came to, he could hang up on me. And I was like, no, that's not the worst thing. The worst thing was that he could deny what he did. I said, okay, well, that's the worst thing. So then I squared my shoulders and I took deep breaths and I walked to the phone and I dialed the phone and the phone was ringing and he picked up. And I said, I said, "Hi, Daddy, this is Angie." And then he paused, and he was like, "Oh." And I said, "I just wanted to call to tell you that I forgive you." And he was like, "Oh." And he apologized. He said, that he was, you know, "Well, I'm sorry for, you know, what I've done, and if I had it to do over again, I would have definitely done it differently." And I was like, "Wow." And then we started to talk, and he said some things I didn't like. He admitted that he abused me, but not fully through the whole 10 years. And then I started doubting myself. I said, "Well, maybe it didn't happen." He said, "Well, you know, you were a child, and you know, you don't remember it the way it happened." And I started doubting myself. I was like, "Well, maybe it wasn't the whole 10 years." I was like, "But it did happen." And then I said, "Listen," I said, "let's just agree to disagree on that. You remember what you remember, and I remember what I remember. And just as long as you admit that you did sexually abuse me and apologize, then let's just leave it at that." And then he proceeded to tell me that he had been physically abused by his mother's boyfriend, who they lived with. And then he proceeded to tell me that that's why he was just, he had spent all his money and he wasn't doing anything. He was just in kind of bad shape. And he said, "You know, I felt so guilty all this time." And I was surprised. I said, "Well, at least, you know, I know you're human now." And I don't know, he just sounded so old and fragile. But what was significant to me was that as I was talking to him, I was what I was afraid of was that I would turn into the little girl again when I called him and to talk to him. But I didn't turn into a little girl. I was me. I was an adult. And I was courageous. And I asked questions. And I was me, the way I've been for the past years without seeing him, the person I have grown into. I was me with him. I was that adult. I wasn't a little girl anymore. And I felt the power just coursing through me.
Give her a hand for her courage. You know, so many people have so much hurt, which when a hurt happens, most people who perceive themselves as not wanting to just be a victim get strong. And the way they get strong is they get angry. And I did the same thing early in my life. I got kicked out of my house by my mom. A good deal of my drive was to show her, you know, in the early days. My mom and I have now a phenomenal relationship. But that anger eats you up. It provides immense strength, but it just eats you up. And you're never free. And so forgiveness is the gift you give yourself. It's not the gift you give someone else. You know, because it allows you to reclaim yourself. It allows you to have freedom. And it takes courage. But I want you to see, she always had this ability. The only reason that it happened yesterday is because she put herself in the right state. Because by putting her in that state, and not only putting her in that state, but getting her to identify that that state is herself. Meaning, I've said to you before, the strongest force in the personality of any human being is their need to remain consistent with their identity. So when we went through that process yesterday, many of you have no idea about what she did really, really well. I compliment her on besides her courage, was that she incanted this
enough times that she began to believe it. She began to believe she was that courage. And that's why when she was in his presence, she was still herself. That's why she actually picked up the phone. Remember I said to you the other day, like if you want to do something, someone says, I'm going to go on a diet. Don't do the thing. Put yourself in the state where doing the thing is automatic. The state is at first. And if you don't just put yourself in the state, but you take these power virtues and you literally become them, right? Well, you embody them physically again and again and again, pretty soon you'll live there. You know, I didn't have a sense of certainty like I have now. What I did is I literally incanted that into my body, used my physiology, anchored that process in until it's always available. It's always right at the edge of who I am. So no matter what's happening, it's there. And I can get there so many ways so quickly. My body wants to go there. In the stimulus of challenge, every part of me gets absolutely certain. Not in the stimulus of challenge, every part of me used to freak out. And that's something I created. I chose it. I wasn't born with it. No one gave me such a gift. No one encouraged me. No one told me, this is how you're going to be, Tony. I decided to become that. And I figured the tools to do it. And the number one tool for conditioning your nervous system, the most powerful tool is the most basic one that takes no skill whatsoever to use. What it requires is that you do it. And I tell people about it, and they don't do it. Very few people really do this. And my whole life has been shaped by incantations.